Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is past Doña Ana County Commissioner Oscar Vasquez Butler and presently Staff Assistant for the Hispanic Farmers and Ranchers of America. Thank you for joining me on Puentes, bridging the community with information about our historical Hispanic farmers. Tell us a little history about the Hispanic farmers.
We've been around a long time, 1846. Prior to that, we were Mexican farmers. And as you know, with the Mexican-American War, 1846, we became Americans of Mexican descent. And we've been farming the land since then. So when we talk about Hispanic farmers, you have to really look at the history with the Spaniards coming in. And that was back in 1500s. You know, we have the oldest city in the nation was Santa Fe, over 400 years old. So we've been around a long, long time. And so the Hispanic Farmers is a recent organization really to bring information as a resource to Hispanic farmers regarding funding, regarding technical assistance in farming, what resources are available, bringing in various agency representatives, you might say, from USDA, from the Farm Services Agency, from the Bureau of Reclamation, EBID, variety of people. It's a resource for farmers.
Is it for all farmers or just Hispanic farmers?
Right now it's just for Hispanic farmers, but anybody can join us. We have various farmers coming for various meetings that we have. When you stop to think that we bring in these various agencies, various representatives of different agencies talking about water, which is a big issue, talking about plant pathology. We bring in people from NMSU, plant pathologists. So you have a variety of people come to our meetings, but it was specifically organized and formed for Hispanic farmers.
And what was the reason initially why they had to organize Hispanic Farmers and Ranchers of America?
Well, you know, when you stop to think about the farm industry in itself with mechanization, with immigrant issues, with labor issues, with grant and funding issues, just issues in general with farming, sometimes with drought, sometimes with pesticides. You had a community of farmers that were without an organization, you might say, to bring problems to and address them in a formal and informal manner with other farmers. So we have farmers in various states, you might say, from California, Arizona, Texas, Nevada, Colorado, that have similar problems dealing with farming in itself with water. And so it became an organization, so just like any other organization, to meet and confer and talk about what issues are there that we all may have a solution to or to discuss to find out which way we want to address them.
So this was started 30 years ago then?
Well, in 1983 approximately, people started getting together. And it formally organized itself around 2000, you might say. The 2000 was really the formal time where it's a 501c3 that allowed them to solicit grants and formally organized under that. So they've been getting together for years. In fact, many of the first farm strikes were with farmers here in New Mexico. Labor strikes, I should say, with farmers, and well, with cotton, with, say, lettuce or with whatever product was around, disgruntled with working for larger farmers in the area. And so we still have that today. But basically, that's what it is. It's a Hispanic organization to deal with issues, deal with technology, deal with whatever problems are out there.
You're a farmer yourself. You have a small farm?
I do. I have approximately 500 pecan trees. I flood irrigate, and it's a tough job. It's an everyday job, and farming is not easy. And yes, you do have a lot of problems, you know, either with worms or with water or with pesticides or with just fertilizer. So I find it interesting. I am a retired human resources manager. So to me, it was a drastic change coming in from a white-collar job to a blue-collar job. And so, no, I like it. It's challenging. And every day is a new day in farming.
So some of the issues then that are being brought forth, you're experiencing them.
I am. I'm experiencing them with civil rights here, because, in, you know, put it this way, farmers in general have problems. Hispanic farmers have even greater problems because more recently, well, not recently, over the last 10 years, I should say, Black farmers and Native American farmers filed class action lawsuits against U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Hispanic farmers did not have really a forum at the time, but because of the Black farmers, they found a reason to organize and then represent themselves before the courts. That's a big issue with us right now. The big issue is that Black and Native farmers were allowed to file a class action lawsuit before the courts in District of Columbia. Hispanic and women farmers were denied the right for a class action lawsuit. You may very well know that Hispanics and women are a protected class under equal employment opportunities and under the Constitution. So what's happened is that this kind of like gelled the organization together because they brought in farmers from Texas, farmers from California, farmers from Arizona, and they all coalesced together and they filed a class action lawsuit as well. And while Hispanic farmers are 2-1 against Black in terms of racial, while Hispanic and women farmers combined are 12-1 versus Black farmers, there was a district court judge in the District of Columbia, I believe his name was Robertson. He denied Hispanic and women farmers the right to file a class action lawsuit. So because the Hispanic and women were denied a class action lawsuit, a Hispanic farmer from Texas, David Cantu, on July 13th of this year, 2013, filed an appeal to the District Court of Columbia, the appellate court, of which is currently in the courts, and it's against the U.S. Department of Agriculture because of discrimination. Discrimination on grants, loans, farm services, and right now we're hopeful that LULAC would intervene. What happened was that Lupe Garcia and myself went before LULAC at the national conference on June 22nd and asked for a resolution in support of the Hispanic farmers in their endeavor to file a class action lawsuit.
Who is Lupe Garcia?
Lupe Garcia is the executive director of the Hispanic farmers. And so what we did was we appealed to LULAC to support us, which they are. National LULAC did file a resolution regarding this particular legal case. And so we're embroiled in that as well as embroiled in a water issue. You know, water is a big thing here in New Mexico. And as I said, we've been farming since 1846. You have the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo that guarantees all land and personal property rights to Hispanic farmers. And in addition to that, we were a territory because New Mexico did not become a state till 1912. So we also have territorial rights. So Lupe Garcia is both involved in the class action lawsuit and in the water lawsuit, along with some Hispanic farmers, in saying that they have pre-1906 water rights. When the state was established in 1912, you know, the Elephant Butte Dam, the farmers here, farmers in general, they all paid their dues and paid off that dam with the Bureau of Reclamation. Well, all the farmers that were here at the time and participated in that got water rights, you might say, the 1906 water rights. Since the water has become a big demand because of the drought, and so you have junior and senior water rights, what the Hispanic farmers are saying is, we also have water rights because we've never left. We've been here all along farming. And at present, it's in the courts. The EBID, state engineer, as I understand, are not recognizing anything earlier than 1906. So when you look at the legal issue on that, and I stated earlier that Santa Fe is the oldest city in the Union, 400 years, the village of Doñana is 1842, and you know Mesilla. I mean, so we've been here a long time. What we're asking is, how can you adjudicate water rights, the state? How can you adjudicate water rights? And how can you set a water right as senior as early as 1906 and not recognize anything earlier than that? So there's a legitimate reason to revisit how are we going to appropriate water, what are senior water rights, what are junior water rights. And the state engineer I don't believe legally that he can oversee or not oversee the adjudication of water rights without one. What are the territorial rights of farmers here at the time pre-1906, or what are the rights under the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo? Because all people who were here then, who decided to stay and not go back to Mexico, were assured citizenship. So they give them a 2-year period. You either go back or stay. And if you do, you become a citizen, American of Mexican descent, with all rights given to you with land and property. Those are the two big issues. And that was one of the reasons that Hispanic farmers had to organize, because they were being discriminated still today by the courts. David Cantu, who's the appellant class action suit, he's appealing under the Constitution, Fifth Amendment, where he was saying that Hispanics and women should be assured equal protection and due process. And so we feel very strongly that it may get some attention this time. I think the last time when the blacks did get a class action lawsuit, President Obama and Eric Holder, the Attorney General for the United States, they intervened to make sure that the blacks got compensation for being discriminated on. There's no cap as to their remedy, you might say. They can sue for whatever amount they feel that they were unjustly treated for. They can file without really putting in some strong evidentiary information or documentation that they were discriminated. They have a very loose claims resolution process. When the Hispanic and women were denied the class action lawsuit, the judge referred them to the USDA claim resolution process, which is in itself discriminatory in comparison to the blacks and the Native American claims resolution. So there's some big issues going on right now with Hispanics. And we will be going to, I guess, San Antonio soon and meeting with LULAC attorneys. That's the League of United Latin American Citizens, because they are weighing in to see whether they're going to intervene in the case because of the discrimination. And we will be meeting or discussing the case with them here in the next month or so, going to San Antonio and seeing whether they want to pursue this. So with that, with water, we've had our hands full.
So what do you see the future of Hispanic farmers in New Mexico?
Well, I'll tell you that is something that by the organization itself, we're trying to start a lot of farm-to-market, farm-to-school, farm-to-co-ops, farmers market kind of programs, trying to address, you might say, poverty from developing programs specifically addressed for Hispanic communities, but anybody who lives within the area. As you know, we're leading in poverty, we're leading in high school dropout rates, we're leading in a bunch of areas, including health, that wholesome farm products going to market or going to schools or going to these farmers markets. We hope to get into that and join and perhaps maybe do some joint partnerships with food banks and start having a direct line with the product and the need. It's almost like with the colonias when I was a county commissioner, trying to match legislative participation with their constituents so that we can address the colonias and the infrastructure problems there.
So is there a lot of education going on in the Hispanic community about farming?
At present, there is. We're trying to hold monthly, if not quarterly, meetings with the Hispanic farmers. We just had one here on 22nd of July here at the County Administrative Building. Billy Garrett, who is a county commissioner and chairman right now, he sponsored the meeting place there at the county facility. I might add that in our legal case with USDA, we've had the Senate. Senators Reid, Senators Menendez have written letters to President Obama and Eric Holder regarding the disparity of treatment. We feel that the disparity of treatment, all we're asking for is parity with the blacks and the Native Americans. We're also planning on addressing maybe the Hispanic caucus in Congress, going to Washington, D.C. to address that issue regarding the disparity of treatment. Silvestre Reyes written a letter, and Pete Gallegos had also written a letter. And I might add that Tom Udall has supported us on this. Barbara Boxer out of California. So we're moving ahead, trying to build a political momentum and trying to have President Obama and Eric Holder review this case as they did with the blacks. That they intervened for them. They got the black settlement under the Farm Bill. so that when you see the farm bill that's being held up in Congress right now, we want to be included in that farm bill like the Native Americans. And
were they not getting the same amount of money for their products?
The main issue is this. USDA was receiving monies, grant monies, for farm implements, for farm seed, for farm for farmers who were having difficulty, say, keeping up the farm, maintaining their mortgage, et cetera. So they had a variety of farm grant products. Well, blacks, Native Americans, Hispanics, and women, they were being discriminated. It seems that all applications, funding applications that were being approved were primarily whites, Anglos. Many or several farmers here in the area, Lupe Garcia being one of them, lost their farms to Anglos up in Hatch, to Anglos in Leesburg. And that was the case down south in Merino and Chamberino. They were losing their farms to Anglos because USDA was putting their applications for grants or loans at the bottom of the inbox. And that was acknowledged, that was proven, that they've been discriminating against the four minority groups for years. And as I mentioned, the blacks and the Native Americans and USDA was found through a review of their records and some acknowledgement by USDA staff that, yes, they did discriminate. And, you know, when you look at the kind of discrimination that's going on right now, not only with Hispanic farmers, but laborers. I mean, more recently in the paper where these large farmers here, primarily Anglo farmers, well, they're not paying minimum wage. They're not providing workers' compensation. They're not providing health benefits. They're not creating a safe working environment. OSHA, federal OSHA, is not inspecting the dairies or other farms.
This is where a lot of the health issues come in and when products reach the market.
Absolutely. If we're not controlling the pesticides being used or the health or the working conditions of these farmers, yeah, we're going to start getting a lot of problems on the in the market. And I don't know whether whoever's overseeing what products are going to market, what pesticides are being used in the field, are doing their job. I just know there was a large article right now. The Center for Law and Poverty is currently taking that issue on regarding farm labor. There's an article in the paper right now of Maury Castro, who wrote an excellent article in the paper regarding farm labor. And so what's going on with the Hispanic organization is that it's evolving. It's evolving to be an advocacy group now for various issues regarding Hispanics. And it's evolved with the class action lawsuit and against USDA and the Farm Services Agency. And now it's evolving with the water issue here in New Mexico, taking on state engineer, taking on Elephant Butte Irrigation District to say, hey, look, we haven't left. The border crossed us. We've been here. Why don't you recognize the treaty? Why don't you recognize the territorial rights? Keeping in mind, it's not just Hispanics, because there were Anglos here, too. They were marrying into a Hispanic family. So it's not just a Mexican or Hispanic issue. It's a farmer's issue that we all have senior water rights here. And it's not just because certain farmers bought the dam. Keeping in mind that if waters are pertinent to the land, to me, then the farmers who are claiming the 1906 water rights, they bought the dam, but not the land and the water pertinent to it. Right now, my pecan orchard is right next to the Doñana Lateral. The Doñana Lateral is the old, they call it the Acequia Madre, and that's the mother canal. And that's the oldest canal here in the area. And that's been coming off of the river for 1846 and before. And if you look at all the Spanish land grants, or you look at all the way the Spaniards would issue land for farming, all land was tied into the acequias. All land was tied into the rivers. And so we have that right stemming from then. And I think that that's part of getting embroiled with the legal process here. There's a continuation of not recognizing Americans of Mexican descent rights here. And it's been going on for a long time. I mean, in Texas, you had the Texas Rangers that, case after case of brutality against Mexicans here, Mexican citizens, American citizens of Mexican descent. We have here in Santa Rita, where you had discrimination in housing, discrimination in wages in the mines, discrimination in education, discrimination on the buses. It's here, and it hasn't left. And for whatever reason, I'm not saying that all Anglos are discriminatory towards Hispanics, but you have many that are still discriminating based on color. And so the Hispanic Farmers Organization has taken on that advocacy for civil rights for Hispanic farmers and other issues.
Is this something that is then dissuading people from becoming farmers or continuing the farming traditions of their ancestors?
Put it this way, farming is a hard job, and it's dependent on the market, dependent on water, and many across the board. It's not a Hispanic thing. It's not an Anglo thing. They just don't want to do what the fathers have done or grandparents. They're selling their farms, and of course, there's development coming in, and that's another issue of how can we be developing when we don't have water. And that's the big competition going on and the big controversy, you might say, between farmers using water to irrigate versus city and growth and economic development.
So we hope that the future continues in our farming communities here in Doñana County and throughout the nation.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we do have to bring food to the table. The agriculture has still been the number one economy here in New Mexico. And even though we're mechanizing a lot of the farms, still we need farmers, we need the water, we need the agricultural economy. It's number one in New Mexico. And we're not anti-growth, anti-development, but yet we know that we need agriculture for what it is. It's bringing the food to the table.
Well, I appreciate you coming and being a bridge to the community with our farming and the farmers. You yourself, a small farmer, Oscar Vasquez Butler, past Doñana County Commissioner, and presently staff assistant of the Hispanic Farmers and Ranchers of America. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.